I was a ex-drug addict, ex-gang member, ex-alcoholic, ex-convict, ex-everything. You know, I was involved. I've been involved in the streets since I was 8 years old. I've been in and out of jail. I mean, I'm 42 now, so I've been in and out of jail since I was a kid.
My dad, he been in and out of jail. You know, and then my stepdad, he was always beating on my mom, and you know, one day I just knocked him down, and then after that I never went back. Since I was 17, I've been in the street, do my own thing.
For me, to be a good dad is to be definitely a leader, a provider, someone that your child can speak to, and above all else, to keep it real with them, be true with them. You know, you got to let them know what's going on out there. You can't be sugarcoating nothing. You know, you got to let them know this is a tough world. You know what I'm saying? But you can make it softer by staying in school, following rules of society, not looking up to garbage on the corners or whatnot. You know what I mean? And just staying focused.
You know, my kids love me a lot because I take them to the park and we eat a lot of the same things. They like the things that I eat, even the spicy stuff. Yeah. So I see myself in my kids, and I also see myself in my dad.
When you do get that opportunity to get back with your kids and be a functioning dad, how will it be different for you?
Well, first and foremost, I know I won't be drunk or high, you know, or under the influence whatsoever. If anything, I'll be high off life just to have my kids with me. You know, my daughter, she's 9, you know. I see her once every other year, you know, and last time I seen her was around Halloween, around October. You know, that was the last time I seen her. And when I seen her, I she's getting tall, you know. And I just kind of like, I didn't believe she was there.
Stories of fathers, fatherhood, and the moments that shape our lives. It's Extension 720 on 720 WGN. Our first segment tonight focuses on the work of the Young Fathers Program from Metropolitan Family Services. The program has been around for a while now. It was first created to serve as an extension of an employment program, but it's gone way beyond that, helping young men in Chicago with everything from balancing a checkbook to maintaining healthy relationships. They work with the dads to understand their responsibilities, but to also recognize their impact on their children's lives. They help pay for field trips. They give the dads legal support to help with custody and child support issues. They help them with all sorts of life skills. The goal is to support the young father, but to keep that young father in their kids' lives. I went down to the 91st Street offices to hear from the program managers who helped make this program work. But first, let's hear from some of the dads that use the Young Fathers Program at Metropolitan Family Services. First up, Ivan. Ivan has 2 kids, 1 22, 1 8. Ivan has lived a life separated from his kids and separated from society. He's been in and out of jail his entire life, 16 times. He grew up on the streets without a father himself. So he's well aware of what impact that has on a child's life. Here's Ivan's story.
I was a ex-drug addict, ex-gang member, ex-alcoholic, ex-convict, ex-everything. You know, I've been involved in the streets since I was 8 years old. I've been in and out of jail. I mean, I'm 42 now, so I've been in and out of jail since I was a kid. The thing with my oldest son, he's in college right now, you know, and he goes to Champaign Urbana, and I've always kept it real true with him. Every time we spoke, I never sugarcoated nothing, because I never wanted him to be like, you know, oh, Dad, well, why you nothing? You know, I always told him everything about my past, my lifestyle, you know, and I also told him which 2 directions he can go. You know, you can take this route, which is education, school, academic-wise, and stuff like that, or you could try the street. You know, but whichever route you choose, it, you know, I'm gonna back you 150%. You know, so I never told him, hey, do this or do that.
Right.
I told him the choices that he had. You know, those are choices no one ever told me.
I was gonna say, did you have that choice?
No, I didn't have that choice. No, my whole family was involved in gangs. You know, my mother sold, you know, drugs when I was real little. My aunt sold drugs. People, you know, my whole family was involved in street life, you know, so I mean, you know, there's people that, yeah, you could have did this or could have did that. I grew up on 26th Street, it's called Little Village.
Yeah.
back then, everybody over there, grandmothers, grandfathers, everybody was involved in the gangs that were there. You know what I'm saying? And me, honestly speaking, right now, and I don't care who hears this, it was a cancer on our whole society. And it tore up a whole bunch of us. You know what I mean? I lost my sister to HIV. I just lost my older brother about 2 years ago from a cocaine crack overdose. My cousin Jessica, she's Jessica Flores, that's missing out there in Indiana. They still haven't found her body. That's my cousin. And, you know, I could just go on and on. Mm. You know what I mean? The horrors that these neighborhoods, you know what I mean, had done to not just my family, but dozens of other families.
A lot of what we talk about in here, mm. we talk with the program managers and the other dads, had to do with breaking the cycle.
Yeah.
Do you need it to be broken? I mean, thinking about how you grew up and the life around you.
Without no question. Yeah. I need it to be broken, without no question. You know what I'm saying? Not only for me, man, but for every kid that's out there.
What does it mean to be a good dad?
For me, to be a good dad is to be definitely a leader, a provider, someone that your child can speak to, and above all else, to keep it real with them, be true with them. You know, you got to let them know what's going on out there. You can't be sugarcoating nothing. You know, you got to let them know this is a tough world. You know what I'm saying? But you can make it softer by staying in school, following rules of society, not looking up to garbage on the corners or whatnot. You know what I mean? And just staying focused.
This program, and we talked about it, you know, really tries to put an emphasis on what it means to be a parent, not just a good parent, but, you know, beyond, to take good parents and make them great parents. And they talk about the fact that a lot of dads are missing in the generation just before, that they're this has been a scourge on our society, that men have just bounced.
Yeah.
So how do you see it? Do you see a resurgence of people getting more involved with their families and involved with their fatherhood as opposed to walking away?
I'll be honest with you. Through this program here, I've seen dozens of guys and met dozens of guys that actually are back in their kids' lives. Regardless, they even taught us about, even if you're at, you know, war, so to speak, with the mother, your child, not to let that dampen your relationship with your kid. You know what I'm saying? I grew up without a father, I mean. Who did I look up to after that? The guys on the corner. You know, the older guys, you know. So it's a mission, you know, but if we don't have programs like this that's out there helping all the brothers out there and sisters and stuff to get their, you know what I'm saying, to basically kick off their train of thought, because that's what we need, something to provoke thought, you know, and programs like this is doing that. It's done it for me. And I've been in gangs, man, for like 33 years. And now I just like totally like I'm against it all the way.
You were 16 different prisons,
yeah.
Life on the street, yep. Drugs, alcohol, like you said. You get a second lease on life here.
Yeah.
And it gives you a second lease on being a parent, being a dad. So how are you going to do it differently now than say you were doing it before?
Now I'm going to definitely devote a lot of time with my kid, which I do. I'm always there with him. You know what I mean? Every single day I call him, I speak to him, ask him how's he doing, does he need anything? You know, and ask him, you know, is something bothering you? You know, talk to me, you know? And believe it or not, they open up a lot of times and let you know what's bothering them. So then we come out, instead of talking about the problem, we come and talk about the solution. What can we do about it? You know, how do we go about this? You know, and so forth.
It's Ivan on being a dad and being part of the Young Fathers Program at Metropolitan Family Services. Next up, Hector. Hector has three kids, and he rarely gets to see them, but he holds them close. He has their names tattooed on his body. His oldest son is on his back, his backbone, his daughter on his chest, near his heart, and his youngest son, Hector, the third, on his bicep for strength. Hector came to the program down on his luck. I'll let him tell the story. Here's Hector. Well, why'd you get involved?
To be honest, I was getting drunk and high all the time, and I just lost control of, you know, my habits, and so the mother of my boys, she ended up leaving me with her new guy, and she took the kids, and I was just like down and out. My dad, my he's been in and out of jail, you know. And then my stepdad, and he was always beating on my mom, and you know, one day I just knocked him down, and then after that I never went back. Since I was 17, I've been in the street doing my own thing, you know. So I don't hit women, and I haven't been in jail for a year and a half now. I got out of jail in January 2018, and growing up where I grew up, it was like I couldn't stay out of jail no more than 6 months.
When you think about being a dad, what does it mean to you?
Being able to provide a healthy lifestyle. You know, my kids love me a lot because I take them to the park, and we eat a lot of the same things. They like the things that I eat, even the spicy stuff. Yeah. So I see myself in my kids, and I also see myself in my dad.
When you do get that opportunity to get back with your kids and be a functioning dad, how will it be different for you?
Well, first and foremost, I know I won't be drunk or high, you know, or under the influence whatsoever. If anything, I'll be high off life just to have my kids with me. You know, my daughter, she's 9, you know. I see her once every other year, you know, and last time I seen her was around Halloween, around October. You know, that was the last time I seen her. And when I seen her, I she's getting tall, you know. And I just kind of like, I didn't believe she was there.
Are you excited? Are you optimistic that your life is on the right track? That you're going to be reunited with your kids? That you'll see them more often than once a year?
Yeah, I have faith in God for sure. Cause when my son's mom left me, you know, she took the kids, and I just kind of like raised my hands at God, like, why, God, what, why? And then I didn't tell you to get drunk. I didn't tell you to get high, you know. And so I've been going to church. Like I said, I'm in a recovery group, and I believe God will give me my kids when the time is right.
That's Hector's story. On top of just wanting to get his kids back, Hector also uses the program to help him change careers.
I'm not in demolition no more. I'm in construction. So I don't tear things down. I build things up.
Wanted to get that clip in. That's a great thought from Hector and Ivan, and thank you for sharing your stories. Those are just two of the stories of Chicago dads using the Young Fathers program. Three program managers sat down with me at their 91st Street offices to explain what the goal is and why this program has been successful, and frankly, why we need it at all. Here is Edgar Barba, Nathan Wright, and Doug Brown.
We started this office here, and we had a lot of moms programs, and people in the community began to ask, well, what can we do for the dads? So then we started interviewing guys in the community, had focus groups, and got an idea of what would make a program like this work. So we didn't want it to be just another employment program. What can we really do to have outcomes that will impact their children, their relationships with their partners? How can we get them a checking account in the bank? What about housing? All of these issues. It's amazing. So we started to pull it together from what they said, what they would make it work.
And from that initial idea, you saw there was a need? I mean, fathers stepped forward saying, hey, I want to be a part of this program?
Yes, yeah. Definitely. One of my main carrot, as we call it, to get fathers interested in a program is the job readiness component as well. So that's how we get them into the program during the first week. During the second week, that's when we focus on their fatherhood.
A lot of times these young men come in, and they think that they have problems, they have issues, and like most men, we figure if I just had a job, if I just had some money, all these things would go away. And it's bigger than that. And that's the thing I think that makes this program so successful is that it is comprehensive. So yeah, we have the job component, but the first thing you need to do is be ready for the job.
When you're dealing with young men who come in and they're looking for work, and then you start to talk to them about being young dads, How do they usually approach it? Are they positive? Are they optimistic about learning more about being a father? Or is it a challenge to get them interested in some of the things that go along with fatherhood?
We used to have a tool that we used to ask them about their fatherhood skills, basically, how good a father they were, that type of thing. We gave it to them at the initial beginning of the program, everybody is an excellent father. And it's hilarious.
They check off.
Even they the check ones, out.
Yes, they do it even all, right? The ones that the child hasn't been born yet, and they've never had any kids, they're still excellent father. And what happens is after they get into the actual programming and the curriculum and everything, then they start to think about really what it entails. And so when we give it to them again, then you get more realistic answers.
Think back to your childhood. What do you remember from when you were a child? Think about what your parents, do you remember what they got you or what gift they gave you? No, you remember the time they spent with you, the good memories that you have with them. A lot of parents and people in general, they don't realize that that's what they remember when they were a child. We teach them that in order for us to improve our, and make our society better for our children as well, is to break the cycle that we a lot of us tend to repeat and take the good parts that our parents did for us or parental figures and teach that to our children and try to eliminate the bad stuff that we learn and experience.
These guys are already often good fathers, and it's not recognized. That's one of the things that they hear from us from the very beginning that gets them engaged, is that we already know you're doing a good job. There might be, it's not recognized, though. And so the whole notion of a deadbeat dad is just not really true, because they're maybe walking them to the school, they're doing different things. So they're very involved, and we build on that. So it's from the point of not a deficit approach, but more like a strength approach that we take with them.
One of the most important parts, I believe, is what is a healthy relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this entails not just between you and the child, but about you and the child's mother, mm-hmm. Your own family relationships, the example set for you, because what we do is we all have a toolbox, okay, and when parenting comes, even if you didn't like the way your father parented, that's all in your toolbox. Okay, so what are you going to take out of there? What you have to work with. So what we have to do first is make them aware of the fact that they're carrying these old habits, even if they didn't like mm-hmm. them, into their relationship with their child. So if they're not aware, then they can't change those. And so once we make them aware and we actually have roundtable discussions about these things, then they do pick up different things. We talk about what they didn't like or did like or that type of thing. And so they change their habits mm-hmm. so that they are aware now. They're doing more, I guess, aware parenting.
I love it.
If you will.
Yeah. So I guess the question I have for all three of you, you guys have been doing this for a while now, but why is there a need for this program? Where has it come from? I mean, what are you seeing when in the community? You're here right here on 91st Street in South Side of Chicago. Why is there a need for a young father program at Metropolitan Family Services?
A lot of these gentlemen have parents who are in and out of jail, and they go into that same lifestyle as well. And one thing I focus on them is about no one wants a worse life that they had for their children. So it's important that you guys guide your children in the correct path and everything as well, because you do not want them to be living the same life with you. And that's what really gets the guys involved with changing their life and showing them that love and support. We work with a lot of guys who are returning citizens, as we say, and we tell them it's important you tell your kids that you love them, and not just tell them, but demonstrate to them, show them, spend time with them. And that's why we have the father-child activities to promote that.
Many times, we're our own worst critic, okay? And men, I say a lot of times, are proud even when we feel like we don't have anything to be proud of. So if we feel like we don't have anything to bring to the table or to contribute, a lot of times we'll just back out of the whole thing. You know, and this is how these kids end up with that deficit in the family of the father. When these fathers get into the program and they start to learn more about the relationships and about employment and just getting themselves on their feet, the first thing they do is run back looking for that woman and that child. Okay, one of the things that we do look at is how many reconciliations we have. Some of these people haven't been involved in the kid's life for years. And now it's like, look at me, I'm doing better, I'm on my feet, I'm working, I'm, you know. We had one father actually go out of state and find his mother and the child's mother and whatnot and bring them back and put their family together. And the whole family dynamic changed. I mean, it's something.
You know, I'll ask about that, about the dynamic, because in some cases, you know, that dynamic, that family dynamic can be toxic, it can be... Mm-hmm. You know, it can be difficult. Mm-hmm. And Do you work with these young dads to recognize their contributions to that toxicity? That, I guess that's the question I have. You know, the idea that it may not be the best course of action. You can get these young dads back on their feet, but it may not be the best course of action to put them back in that scenario.
Yeah, a lot of times there isn't that. There's a lot of deadbeat dads is that they got different challenges or struggles holding them from doing that. And like my coworker Nathan mentioned, a lot of times we help them with those barriers. We don't give them a handout, we give them a hand up. We're right there along with them, and we fight with them in order to get their better services. We got our domestic violence team as well, who speaks with the gentlemen to let them know the importance of domestic violence and how it affects the children as well. Because a lot of times these gentlemen might be mistreating their wife or something, or and their daughter seeing that, and we let them know that that's setting an example for the type of guy that your dad, that she's going to be dating. So we put stuff in their head and demonstrate to them how responsible and how, even if you don't believe you're a model for your children, you are, and they do tend to be want to be
but
like
I think
you.
Realistically, Justin, you know, it is true that we would love to overcome all the social problems,
yeah,
but we're
right.
limited to, and we recognize
yeah, right.
that sometimes there are disappointments and things that come up, but our goal, of course, is to help them have the tools that they can use to do what they can.
That was Doug Brown, Nathan Wright, and Edgar Barba, program managers for the Young Fathers Program at the Metropolitan Family Services, which is offices at 91st Street. Also, thanks to Hector and Ivan for sharing their stories tonight. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get the news, and we'll continue our conversation about fathers and fatherhood here on Extension 720 tonight on 720 WGN.